Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sports City. We are back in the building. The cafe has everything smoking, man. Let's get into it, Sports City. From Eastern Conference to Western Conference, the Champs got their rings. I didn't like to see them get their ring. Let me stop hating. I'm hating. Congratulations to the 2015-2016 NBA champions, the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's like sports are back relevant. I can't even just say that they're not relevant, but that they're in championship talk, and you got the Cleveland Indians in baseball. But I want still too many sports in the cafe. But LeBron and company raising the banner up in Cleveland. Y'all got the next 90 minutes or more locked in the kitchen with us. I done took off his blazer and loosened up the tie. Step aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Thank you to everybody that has been showing us love for throughout the past 3 weeks or so. All of the shows have been seeing nice numbers, especially the people that have been sending email talking about what we're doing and trying to keep giving us that support, telling us keep cooking. So, of course, the master chefs are here to keep cooking. I do want to try and get my co-chef to start getting his dish out. I really want to start pushing that a little more, at least in today's show and as we go on, Sports City. So y'all stay tuned. Calling in from the Midwest region of the United States of America, R. Keezy, a.k.a. Mr. King. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling real good, Thomas. Ready to get it going. It's an interesting night of basketball. Actually, the last two nights, as we spoke last weekend, well, actually last week, last Thursday, but by the time we got back in the cafe, it was going to be plenty to talk about. A lot of NBA stars, a.k.a. superstars, put up video game numbers, some interesting matchups, some wins that we have to discuss, as well as the teams who are on the other end of that receiving end of that win. Let's call it the L side. They took some losses. So I know you got it lined up. So, man, do what you do, and let's serve up these dishes. Let's get it going.
Yes, sir. I got a ton of dishes to put out here in Sports City. That is for sure. And the dish that I want Royce to start pushing, I'm going to start trying to set a little segment together. I don't know whether I'm going to give him like 15, 20, or 30 minutes. I'll let RTV do his thing, but I kind of want him to give y'all that good old home cooking of some fantasy basketball. That's right. I need my boy to get in his kitchen and do what he does best. I want him to talk fantasy because I'm not going to lie. Just like Roy said, we've seen, and I 100% agree with him, we've seen video game numbers. I guess everybody's going to like either be, caught in their feelings, biting their nails, or loving every last bit of this as a fantasy basketball, because these players are stuffing the stat line across the board. It's not just you just seeing people just score. Of course, I'm heavy biased toward Russ, but if James Harden wanted to, I'm going to be honest, last night, and shout out to the Rockets and the Lakers game. I'm not going to lie, that game was very intense. I liked every last bit of it. Shout out to the Lakers, too. I got to say it again. But if Harden wanted to, Harden could have ended up with 30 assists last night. If he really wanted to turn that game out, he could have messed around and had 30 assists. But he tried to force his hand, if you will, trying to score the ball. But, there was an awesome game by AD. I definitely want to talk about the Brown. I want to see how you feel about that. Even though the Pelicans fell short, Buddy Hield wasn't there up against another. We're going to go through all of the scores of yesterday as well. And DeMar DeRozan also had a big game out the gate, putting up 40 up against the Pistons. Pistons are going to be, you know, behind the eight ball, if you will, until Reggie gets there and gets his NBA speed and legs underneath them as well. But, Royce, I cannot sit on my hands any longer, you know, and kind of call myself out, but it's just one game. It's just one game. Out the gate, the Cleveland Cavaliers raise their banner, get their championship rings, and go to work up against the New York Knicks. And like I said, I came in this kitchen and said that I think the Knicks could be a two seed in the East. And just like I said, it's one game. It's one game. But Cleveland beat these guys by, what, 29 points. And this, the bad part about this is in the first half, this game was competitive. They came out in the second half, and I don't know whether Tyronn Lue came out with a devious game plan or, you know, there was another thing that Derrick Rose had actually said after the game, which, I can allude to right now and let Royce kind of, you know, cook as best as possible. But Derrick Rose was like, he said that they were actually working the offense and trying to get a feel for one another, but that's the wrong time to be trying to do that up against a championship team that has their chemistry down. So if you guys had already counted yourselves out after halftime, then it's understandable. But if there's blood in the water on the Knicks, this is something that does concern me. But, Royce, your thoughts on the Cleveland Cavaliers opening up the season on a throttling up against the New York Knicks?
Did you mean to say opening up a can of whoop-ass on the Knicks? Because that's what is this the R-rated version or the G-rated? Because the Cavaliers gave the Knicks the absolute business. Okay, I mean, they served these dudes up something special, man. Look, LeBron James looks like a man on a mission. That's where I'm gonna begin because obviously it's his team. He's the face of the franchise. And I tweeted the other day when this game was going on after the completion for the most part. And I said, look, LeBron is on a mission. And he looks like he wants to average a triple-double this season en route to winning his fifth league MVP. And it's my belief, it's my opinion, that if LeBron James can average a triple-double in 32 minutes average per game, he's the hands-down league MVP because we know wins and losses-wise, they're going to be probably the best team in the Eastern Conference, right? LeBron showed me in game one against the Knicks at halftime, he's like, I can go get a quick 12 to 11 points, pass out about 7 assists, collect 7 rebounds, and then it's light work in the second half. I only need 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and I got a triple-double. Gone are the days where the Cavaliers need LeBron to really score 25 to 30 points. Why? Uncle Drew, a.k.a. Kyrie Irving, his game is on lit right now. I mean, this guy is so confident, Timeless, no one can guard him. He's unguardable. You can't contain him. He's either going to make it or he's going to miss it, and we all live with the results, period. That's where he is right now. He's in another stratosphere. We saw him serve up the 2-time league MVP and Steph Curry in the finals. He couldn't do anything with him. No one really can. He has LeBron's confidence. He believes in him. LeBron went so far as doing the celebration, the championship parade, and said that Kyrie eventually was going to win league MVP. So this year, you know, is the beginning of that. Doesn't mean Kyrie's going to win the MVP. Obviously not. I just said LeBron's going to win it. But he is going to be playing himself into that conversation for years to come. Kevin Love's a lot more comfortable with where he makes his money. He had a strong double-double. I mean, the team as a whole riding high And they had a better bench. I mean, the real tale of the game, Thomas, was just that the Cavaliers was a team with a better bench. After the starting five in New York, there is nothing. The cupboard is bare. Brandon Jennings, he'll have his moments. He'll have nights where, you know, obviously he's going to, you know, showboat a little bit, you know, if he makes the shot or gets cooking, but you can't really rely on him. He's a career 36, 37% shooter from the field, something like that. He's well under 40. And you live and die with his makes and misses. They have no bench. So that's what has to happen with the Knicks. That's what I got out of that game. So, yeah, I'm going to pass it back to you because there's nothing to see here. I mean, it played out like I expected to play out. Cavaliers, hands down, better than the New York Knicks.
Whoa. We're not going to get away from that too fast. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds – well, not to say it sounds good. He's totally correct in everything he says. But I'm not getting away from this that fast. That's right. I'm not going to get away from this at all. Royce, I'm going to ask you a big and endearing question to my heart. In this matchup, if you will, or, you know, these two going at each other. That's right. These two that I'm talking about. Is LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony. I can no longer sit here and watch this happen any longer. I can't. When does Carmelo take this personally? Like, and I know it's a lot for me to ask, you know, like putting all of this in front of Carmelo, but it's like they are, and it happens to a lot of players across the league when they're playing up against each other that they hang out at the end of the season or whenever they have the time, but when does Carmelo go at LeBron just as hard as LeBron goes at him? Because there were portions and times in the game, it's like Carmelo showing him too much respect or something. It's like, when do you go at him and try to give him a 40-point night? Is it a night where you're in the garden and your three ball is falling and LeBron is just letting you shoot? Or do you go, you watch LeBron score on one end and you go out there and do it the other end? LeBron didn't even have a big night scoring, but he just messed around and had a triple-double. I could have said it like Ice Cube, but I didn't want to totally cube line. But you got to be one of the guys on that. Look, you had other venues or networks out there getting mad because they said that you were outside of the top 15 players in the league. Now, I'm not going to lie. I am going to say you are a top 15 player in the league. I'm not going to go outside it. People may differ here in the kitchen. People outside of the kitchen may send email or be in the chat room discussing that matter, or so on and so forth. Royce, when does Carmelo take this personal? And, like, I know this is the way that I was, you know, brought up in the sport or something. If somebody scored on me or the star on the other team scored and I was responsible for him, I'm going to try my best to try and score or make it my business to put pressure on him on the offensive side of the ball. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really see that out of Carmelo. When does this happen?
Well, I wasn't really trying to cut you off, but I absolutely wanted to jump right in there because he tried. You got to accept what you see. He tried. The box score says Carmelo Anthony took 18 shots from the field. Thomas? For 19 points. Whoa, that's the problem right there. I took 18 shots to score 19 points. Now, had I been efficient, let's say I got lucky and caught fire and was 18 for 18, well, then I just served LeBron 36 points in his mug, right? So that tells me he tried. He tried to drop 30-plus on LeBron, but he couldn't. They not in high school no more, man. This ain't St. B. St. Mary versus Oak Hill. This ain't that. The league, bruh. Look at the team. Melo is obviously dealt with more injuries over the course of his career in comparison to LeBron James. And the reality is, while Melo is a professional scorer, I'm not taking shots because he went 8 for 18 on that particular night. Carmelo is a professional scorer. I get that. LeBron brings everything to the table. Points, defense, I ain't going to say the rest. I'm going to stop right there because that's why Melo was 8 for 18. LeBron brings D. LeBron's teams understand how important it is to be committed to the defensive end. And the way LeBron is looking right now, that chase down block that they just launched the campaign, you know, come out of nowhere for Nike off of that in LeBron and his performance, right? That's what you saw on opening night. LeBron was coming from behind on guys, man. He was giving guys a step. Get in front of me. I'll block it from behind. Statement. It's more, to me, it's more about LeBron James and who he is and what he's capable of as opposed to, you know, saying, you know, something like, you know, Melo is not taking it personal.
Do you think Carmelo could go on the block and make it difficult for LeBron? Or LeBron is just basically gonna force him to stay out there and force up jump shots. And not to say he's on the perimeter, because he's still taking shots, you know, underneath the perimeter as well. But if Carmelo's on the block, I think this definitely forces LeBron to actually play interior defense, could end up picking up a foul or exerting some energy of some sort. Do you think, just like you said, do you think it's something that Carmelo is more or less thinking about him being injured previously and not trying to get involved with a guy like LeBron? Like, I don't know.
It's a chess match, right? And it's style, it's gamesmanship. Do people really want to see LeBron and Carmelo Anthony right now where they are in their careers, banging in the post? Is that the game you want to spend money to watch?
I would love to.
You only get six fouls both ways. So me and LeBron going to go to the block how many times before we're both probably in foul trouble and we're sitting on the bench? Follow me? Like, that's – I get what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that has to be – strategic. That has to be placed strategically within the course of a game at a decisive moment, at a deciding moment. Like if you're trying to swing a momentum or if you're trying to make a single statement when you have some momentum, you know, to maybe try to get into the psyche, not so much of LeBron, but get into the psyche of the team. If Melo could go to the block and maybe serve up LeBron. But here's, again, coaches are involved. It ain't just the player. It's not pick up basketball. How often is Tyronn Lue really going to put LeBron on Melo? How often is Hornacek going to say, hey, Melo, guard LeBron? They different players, man. They play different roles on their teams. And because of that, what people want to see in terms of the marquee matchup in the discussion in terms of possibly this year, hey, if the Knicks could get the A seed and give us that Melo versus LeBron matchup for a playoff series, everyone's excited about that. Everybody wants to see that. Why? Why do we want to see that? What is there to see? These two guys have been in the league pretty much the same length of time, if I can recall correctly. So what is there to witness that we haven't seen already? He can't beat him. He can't best him. His teams are not better than LeBron James' team because LeBron James is a better player. It's that simple. And I hate to keep sound like I'm kicking Carmelo because I'm not a hater when it comes to Carmelo. I like Melo. I like his game. I just sick of the way he's being used. I'm sick of the role that he plays. And if that's partially due to his preference and style of play, then so be it. You got to find some kind of coach or GM somewhere with balls enough to tell Melo, look, this is the type of style that we're going to play to get the best out of you, to maximize who you are. And this is it. And I feel like the only coach to me that really – gets what he wants out of Carmelo Anthony when he wants it has been Mike Krzyzewski during the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. And I don't see him leaving Duke anytime soon to coach the New York Knicks.
Okay, fair enough. I definitely thought it would be somewhat more closer than this score, but that's one game out of the gate by 29 points. Home team win. Now, the NBA final loser, which I'm not going to lie, I may be bitter, I may be frustrated, I may feel shortchanged because I'm a diehard Thunder fan, but KD moves, life goes on. We are now here in the 2016-2017 season, and Golden State Warriors, a.k.a. the super team of this season, open the doors of the Oracle and go up against the Pop. Well, let me say this correctly, because I feel like I'm being disrespectful. Coach Popovich, a.k.a. Pop, and the San Antonio Spurs. Now, I'm not going to lie. I sat here with Royce last week, Thursday, here at the Crossover Cafe, and I selected Golden State to win. But I said this, Golden State will win, but watch the Spurs keep it close. I said it will be under 9 points. I said that. Rewind the tape. Rewind the tape. Now, Roy sat there and thought otherwise. And I'm not even going to hold Roy to speak to the fire on that because I don't even feel that's fair anyway because none of us expected this to be how it went down. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect for this to go down this way. The San Antonio Spurs win this game 129-100 in Oakland, in the Oracle, where I think Golden State only lost, like, what, two games there last year in the regular season? I mean, they lost, what, I think a game or two in the postseason. But nevertheless, I would think definitely this team would be more comfortable at home. But you can that's why I said let me say this differently about Coach Popovich in that system. And it's kind of like how you look at, you know, Bill Belichick and his system and how it always works. You get the right players to accept their roles or accept their jobs and they get the job done. I did not think that the Spurs had enough guns to go to war with the Golden State Warriors. Now, granted, it's all fresh. These players are, you know, trying to gel with KD being there. Now they have a ton of ammunition on the floor offensively. My question is, defensively, where do the Golden State Warriors find their answers? Now, of course, you got people that are biased Warriors fans or feel like I'm in my feelings about, you know, KD's decision to make the move to Golden State. But I said, outside of Klay, Klay didn't really do a great job defensively because he really didn't have too many people to contain other than, what, Simmons and Anderson getting his shot off. But who are they going to find defense from, interior and on the perimeter? And then he said, oh, well, one of my friends said, oh, Draymond Green was an all-defensive player. I didn't take that away from Draymond. But their offense was so powerful, all these guys had to do was watch people try to go shot for shot with them, and that was the defense that they had to play. And that was the defense they had to play, and it was successful for them. But I feel like I'm spilling too much in this situation before I take away from my brother Arkeezy. So, Royce, your thoughts on this game before I actually get to cook more into this game. Your thoughts on the Warriors losing at home by the same amount the Knicks did on the road by 29.
Well, it's real simple. They have the same problem the Knicks have. They have no bench. Something else that I tweeted on opening night. The Knicks and the Warriors, GMs, it's time to get to work. It's time to earn your keep, make a phone call, and build a bench. Build a bench. It's just that simple. I know it's game one, but you can't possibly plan to play 81 more games as currently constructed. You got to get help. The starters need help. The starters in New York need help. The starters in Golden State need help. And it's not going to matter once, they get the chemistry within the starting units. Because what they're telling me is once we get the starting units going, we're going to commit to playing one, no, you're going to commit to playing at least two of your starters, keeping two of your starters on the court at all times. So that means you obviously have to stagger your substitutions and rotate it from night to night to try to give guys ample rest, because they don't have the type of bench firepower that can carry any stretch of the game that can extend the lead. They're too young on that bench right now, or they're too old. Who's the killer? Who's the scoring assassin in Golden State off of the bench?
Well, Sean Livingston. Livingston's name.
Come on, man! Stop that! That's not who he is. It's not how you build according to strength. You don't ask a guy who's not a killer to all of a sudden be a killer this year because our bench is terrible. No, it's not Livingston. If it was, he would have did it the other night. He didn't. It's not Iguodala. It could be Patrick McCall, but if you don't play him until you're down, you know, 20 plus, and then you ask him to come in and playmate, well, then that's not asking him to be a killer. You ask him to be a playmaker and a facilitator. It's not David West. It's not JaVale McGee. It's not Ian Clark, even. And he's the guy who actually comes in with only one thing on his mind, and that is to shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not an elite scorer. So, I mean, you got to get major production off of the bench. It sounded crazy the other night. I'm hearing somebody saying that, like in New York, for the Knicks, somebody suggested, they're going to need to move possibly Porzingis to the bench, bring him off the bench. They need firepower. I think Barkley said that on TNT. And everybody on the panel was like, yo, that's crazy. Why would you move Porzingis, yada, yada, yada? You don't want to do that. But until you go out and get you some guaranteed scoring, maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe that's not a bad idea. Because you have to have a bench in the NBA. You have to know that I'm getting 25 to 30 points a night bench scoring. You got to know that. And if you don't know that, then what you do know is we're going to take a lot of L's and get some lottery balls, because it's all about the future. And the super team, the Warriors, man, look, they got exactly what they deserve in terms of you got beat by a team that likes playing together, that knows how to play together. And they had a significant piece in Pau Gasol who didn't really look comfortable. But Kawhi Leonard, bruh, Kawhi Leonard looked like a man unchained, unshackled, whatever you want to use. Look, 39, I think it was. 5-5.
Wow.
KD couldn't do nothing with him. Iggy couldn't do nothing with him. Draymond, like, anybody you want to at Kawhi Leonard right now, and you're not going to be able to do anything with him, and I'm going to give you the reason why. In case people don't really do their homework and research on some of these players and who they study, Popovich been feeding this man Michael Jordan video from day one. I didn't say Kawhi Leonard was Michael Jordan. I'm not saying he plays like Michael Jordan. It's about having that mentality. And you would think that, well, I'm looking over his career and I don't really see him with that mentality. Why? Because he don't walk like Mike. His persona or swag is not, you know, pervasive like Mike's. But no, he got that. It's just that he's himself. So when you look at his body language and you look at his face, all I'm going to tell you is you better learn how to see correctly. Look real good. He got that killer in his eyes. Like nobody can stop him. And he don't have to take the back seat and wait for, you know, the highly, you know, respectable Tim Duncan to really be gone and be out of his way so he could do his thing, so he could really step up and make it his team. It's his team now. I don't care what anybody says about LaMarcus Aldridge. You the latecomer to San Antonio. The team belongs to Kawhi Leonard, and he showed everybody why with his performance against the Golden State Warriors on opening night.
Now, here goes the issue that I was getting into a big debate about, and that's when I was talking about their defensive prowess, if you will. And I was like, well, Klay was their best on-the-ball defender last season, even though he tried to throw Draymond in there, and Draymond was, one of the top defenders in the league, so on and so forth. And I was like, when they got the lead, all they had to do was stay in front of his guy and watch these guys miss it, just run the break, and they get to play their offense. Their offense was their defense. Everything the Spurs were doing was working. Their interior for the Warriors, I'm speaking of, the Warriors' interior defense, booty, garbage, what didn't exist. Defense on the perimeter didn't exist. Watching the other team being the Spurs score the ball and watching Klay still do the same thing, shake his head, put his head down like it's bothersome. Like, I don't know when they look at the defensive anchor on that team, whether it's Steve Kerr or whether it's a player that needs to beat Draymond and speaks up and always gets his team hyped up to get back in the game. But there's a lot of players on that team that don't play defense, like Steph Curry, like Kevin Durant. Zaza Pachulia, I mean, granted, he's a body that likes to play physical, but he isn't a defender. Like, they were going in there and getting what they wanted. Granted, what Royce just said, and I agree 130,000% with him, Paul Gasol wasn't even, like, comfortable. I don't even feel like he had his knack on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, he made shots. He scored the ball, but picture if Paul was comfortable. That score could have been a mess. Even if they do go find help on the bench, Royce, where do they get post defense? Where did that happen? LaMarcus was hitting so many shots in the paint, and then I had the guy that I was debating with said, oh, well, they played good defense, but LaMarcus was hitting tougher shots. There's nothing you can do about that. I understand that, but you got to do something. Something has to give. Like in the series last year with the Spurs played the Thunder, and LaMarcus in the first couple of games was complete fire. They couldn't do anything with him, but they did something to slow him down. Like, there has to be something on a championship caliber or championship laden, however you want to present the situation team in Golden State. Golden State did not look like they were ready for not only the Spurs, but a team that's going to have a tough couple of intricate pieces can give the Warriors trouble. If they have at least two or three scores on the team, you can give this team fits. You can give them fits.
Well, they may not be able to go out and address some of their holes right away via trade because you got to have assets, right? You got to have something to send back out in the trade that somebody wants or be willing to part with some significant picks in your future. And let's face it, when you're winning and you're going to the finals the last couple of seasons, no one wants your pick. It's not going to be that high. So let's just start with what's currently on the roster, and let's say this. Steve Kerr and the rest of that team is going to have to put and build more trust, if you will, in players like JaVale McGee and Kevon Looney, a couple of big men that can rebound the basketball because that's what they need. They need a rebounding presence that is not all about scoring, but will focus on rebounding on the defensive end and show them some video. Show them how, guys like Tyson Chandler and even Andrew Bogut, who formerly played there for Golden State, if he couldn't secure the rebound, he tapped it back out top to give someone on his team an opportunity to pick up that loose ball and get a team rebound. They need to play those guys, and more importantly also is those guys have to sacrifice their bodies when it comes to setting screens because it's not the same. Draymond Green setting the screen, Zaza Pachulia setting screens for Steph and Klay or KD is not the same as when it was Mo Spate and Andrew Bogut setting those screens. You got to find guys that do those little things, and I think that's what everybody's going to start to see, is that truly little things can make a difference. They can make or break you. And KD is not a little thing. He's a big thing. His name, that's big. So it's like a big deal. That's all everybody's talking about. And then you got people with a defeatist mentality that's like, oh, why are we playing the game? That's ridiculous. You know, how's that team going to lose? Easy. They're going to lose by getting out on the basketball court, not addressing the holes that the team in Golden State the last 2 years really had in terms of being truly undersized most nights and living by the jump shot and dying by it. That's how they're going to lose. Thank you, San Antonio, for showing everybody who wanted to just cancel the NBA season and give the trophy to the Warriors. Thank you for slapping everybody in the mouth. I appreciate it. Because now we can go on about our business and we can watch the season unfold. And they got work to do in Golden State. They got work to do. And if game one is any type of indicator of what could be in store for the next couple of months, because it might take some time to address this situation, the Clippers have a legit shot at coming out the West. The Portland Trail Blazers have a legit shot of coming out the West, in addition to the San Antonio Spurs obviously having a legit shot of coming out the West. It's just not a foregone conclusion. Golden State is coming out the West. Not when you play the game. I don't care how it looks to others on paper, but not when you play the games and you got to play a particular opponent four times minimum to advance. Now, this is a conference foe. If I got to play you a minimum of four times to advance, and it's possible I've already played you four times in the regular season. So we go to a seven-game series. I mean, we've been going at one another anywhere from 8 to 11 times. What am I going to do that is new, that you haven't already scouted, that you don't even already know that we're capable of? Nothing. So what separates us? Will to win, health, injuries, the bounce of a ball, a missed shot here, a main shot, a blown assignment on D. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. It's not a foregone conclusion that the Golden State Warriors are coming out of the West, despite predictions.
Right, and I'm not pushing the envelope saying that the Warriors still won't be a juggernaut or the toughest team in the Western Conference, but out of the gate, this is definitely questionable. I could even see it as, okay, the Spurs coming out and winning by 10 or 15, by 29 points, that's pretty heavy. But I want to get away from their defensive side of the ball, and then after this, I'll get away from this whole game in general because there's a lot here, but I feel like I just want to pick on the real big issues as they lay right now. First and foremost, just like you just said, and I want to kind of pick at that, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, and that saying has been for centuries. Them living by the jump shot and dying by it, watching Pop and the Spurs work their magic, is forcing those guys off the three-point line and making them have to make a play, whether it was in the paint and watching Durant get a dunk or in the paint and watching Steph get a layup or forcing foul issues and watching them go to the line and make a free throws and stuff like that. Is that the way to play this Warriors team? Do not let them beat you where they're comfortable, where that's behind the three-point line. Yes, Kevin Durant can shoot from 30 feet out. Yes, Steph can shoot from three-quarters of a court out. Yes, Klay Thompson went off for 37 points, hitting a lot of threes. Yes, Draymond is comfortable shooting a three-ball. But if you get these guys off the three-point line and force them to make plays inside – And force them to miss, you know, not to say that that's an uncomfortable shot, but I feel like they're making those plays off the run. It makes it somewhat interesting for a heavily offensive team in the Golden State Warriors. Is this at least a blueprint on trying to slow them down? I can't say stop. I mean, the Spurs stopped them, but this isn't going to be the same medicine for every team across the league. Is this the blueprint on slowing them down?
Well, I can't say it's the blueprint for slowing down the Golden State Warriors and beating the Golden State Warriors, But I say the blueprint that I see is the one that exists in San Antonio, and that's good for San Antonio. Like, they're committed to a style of play, and they play it game after game, season after season. It's work. They don't change it. They don't alter it. They don't deviate. They draft accordingly. They scout accordingly. They trade accordingly. Everything is according to what are we doing here in San Antonio. What is our identity? What is our system? And that's what they do. That's what their personnel reflects. That's what their offseason moves reflect. That's a message to everybody else in the league. You have to establish who you are. You have to commit to, that's not just for other organizations in the league. I take a moment and deviate and say, look, that's life in general. You gotta know yourself. Who are you? Do you? That's the only way you're going to have great success. And that's what I think what was occurring and happening in Golden State. And I am kind of the opinion that they have gotten away from that when they decided to pursue Kevin Durant, period. As much as Kevin Durant is speaking like he wanted to be there, we all know that Golden State pursued him to be there. And as an organization, they gave a lot of themselves. They gave up a lot of themselves in terms of their collective identity, who they were collectively as a group, reflected singularly the organization, how they played, the style of play, the personnel really meshing and fitting, guys knowing their roles, happy to contribute. It wasn't about how many shots they took or the box scores. It was about the wins. And that team, that organization, is going to suffer this year because of the pursuit of Kevin Durant and Durant signing there. Again, are they going to win games? Yes. Are they going to entertain us? Yes. Are they going to put up some numbers? Absolutely. Look, this team has to address the bench. That's it. You know, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of the whole season is all of a sudden in jeopardy. They just have to address the bench. They got to address the bench. And then they got to understand that Kevin Durant is not a Splash Brother. I don't care. You can get all excited about that Splash Brother stuff if you want. Yeah, we know KD is a 7-foot player, shooting guard or whatever position, small forward, he can shoot the three, yes. But to just keep launching and launching and launching and launching and launching, KD does not hit from the three-point line at the rate or the clip and the efficiency of a Steph or a Clay. So he only took three shots. I like that. If you look at the box score that night, he only took three three-point attempts. That's KD being true to himself. So, again, you're asking this team to play with Kevin in a fashion and a style in which he's used to getting his buckets. Where does he normally score from the last 7, 8 years or 9 years, however many years he's been in the league now, when he's with Oklahoma City? And if you saw, like, early in the game, they actually ran that action for him right there in the high post, like right there in the center of the key. He posted up the smaller guy. He got the switch. He got him on his back and his hip, and he just turned and faded and shot right over. Like, hey, they ran that all the time in Oklahoma. Now, all of a sudden, Golden State is running that. They're not running that for Golden State. They're running that for Kevin Durant because he plays in Golden State. So we're talking again is my issue with Golden State is identity crisis. And we're seeing it start to unfold because they have to find and figure out who are they now as currently constructed and assembled. And until they figure it out, there's going to be plenty for us to talk about game after game, week after week, especially since they're not about to, you know, open up 24-0 this season.
One more that I'm getting away from it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And, yeah, they did lose in the NBA Finals, but they had a hell of a season last year. And enters Kevin Durant. And interesting enough, they have big-time personality after big-time personality. You got Kevin Durant. You got Draymond Green, who's the verbal leader. Klay Thompson, who is the one that doesn't speak up but definitely has that personality that he wants to be the fire starter. And everybody knows the MO of Steph. One of the fan, if not the fan favorite around the league, but the best shooter that we've seen. Now you have the situation where enters Kevin Durant. It looks like they formed this team to work around Kevin Durant instead of the team, you know, knit that they had last year. Yes, Steph was the guy nailing shots, and yes, Klay was doing his thing, and so was Draymond. But now it's more or less everybody had to kind of bite back and watch what Kevin came there to do, and Kevin did end up leading the team in scoring. But is this a situation that is more or less that they have to form to Kevin Durant while everything else worked last year? I think more or less Durant should have been the guy that had to fill the role of being a better, a way better than Harrison Barnes' effective role. But now it's more or less that he's on the floor with these guys. He has to be the leader, I guess, offensively on the impact role.
Well, again, yeah, I think this team just has to figure out what's best as a whole. What's best as a whole with Kevin Durant on the roster. And it's not playing the same style as you played the last 2 years. You're going to want to keep some of those actions. You want to keep some of that obviously some of those principles. But it's not who Kevin Durant is. And I just think he's going to find out the grass isn't always greener, because what was working for Golden State as a team, as an entire unit, starting and bench, they don't have it now that he's there. And he's the reason that it's not there. Because he chose to go there, they had to give up that identity. So you was tired of doing the heavy lifting in Oklahoma? Stop crying and get ready to keep going the heavy lifting. It is what it is.
Okay, fair enough. I'll get away from it, man. Just like I said, it's game one, and of course it does seem like the sky is falling, but come on, I'm being a realist here too. It's just one game. But Coach Popovich, I'm saying your full last name. I really want to say Pop, like I know you. I don't know you. You're a rival of the Thunder. Excellent stuff, and keeping these guys on target. Now, I know probably the next time the Warriors play them, they'll probably blow the doors off the hinges off the Spurs. But right now, out of the gate, 29, damn near 30. And last year, this same situation was in front of Kevin Durant last year with Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant went head-to-head, and Kawhi gave him, what, 33 points in the season opener? And the same situation came around again for Kevin Durant, messing with Kawhi. Kawhi gives him fits, people. Whether Kevin Durant wants to admit it or not, Kawhi is a thorn in that guy's side for real. But I'll get away from it. I know this all too well. We had basically everybody else played yesterday. A lot of interesting matchups around the league. I don't know where to start. A lot of these games definitely had their interest to them. I'll start right there where my co-chef is cooking at, in Indiana. The Pacers win the game in OT up against the Mavs, 130-121. Now, we've been talking about this youngster last year and seeing if he could get the turnaround in this upcoming season. Miles Turner, 30-point effort and 16 rebounds in that effect in the paint for the Pacers. The Pacers have a very interesting front court, if you will, with Turner and Jefferson as well. What's your thoughts on what went down in your backyard?
Well, coming out party for the young man, Miles Turner. He didn't get to start last season. He was, I think, dealing with a little bit of injury, or he might have been on the roster, but again, he wasn't a starter. This year, he's a starter. He had a decent postseason performance against the Toronto Raptors, where I think he averaged like three blocks that series. He said something in the offseason that got my attention, and I think he was committed to, you know, feeling like, you know, he could put up, I think it was like 15-8, or it might have been like 20-8 or something crazy. But the for the record, let's just say he said 15-8. This guy doubled down, and he gave the Pacers last night 30-16 with the blocks. And the way he did it is he showed that he has a complete game for a big man, a legit 7-footer with touch, can shoot it mid-range, out to the three-point line, knows how to slam it home in the paint, plays big. He had a lot of bounce last night, hustled to loose balls, just an absolute difference maker. And if he can keep that pace and stay healthy, then, you know, what the Indiana Pacers have truly is a budding young star, a guy who could play his way into multiple all-star appearances in the East. Paul George has help. Paul doesn't have to do a lot of the heavy lifting as he once did. And let's not forget, there are no slouches in the starting unit in Indiana. 1 through 5 on any given night could drop 25 on you. Jeff T., Monte Ellis, Paul George, Thaddeus Young, and now Miles Turner. They could get 25 on any given night. So at some point, teams around the league are going to have to figure out or decide, you know, which poison they want to drink. Because if I was scouting right now, the Indiana Pacers are trying to determine who I'm going to say, this guy has to be the guy who beats us tonight, because we can't let Paul beat us. We know Paul is capable of beating us, any team. If we let him get off, it could be a problem. So I think what happened last night, the Mavericks probably had a game plan. Well, we'll live and die with what Miles Turner does. He's a second-year player. Let's see if he can handle potentially the pressure. Can he deliver when the shots are coming to him? Can he continue to make and produce? He did. And what may happen, Thomas, at least for the first couple of weeks, maybe the first month of NBA basketball this season, multiple teams are going to choose to stop Paul George first, probably Monte and Teague, and then Thaddeus Young. So the guy they're going to live with is Miles. We'll live with whatever Miles does because he's the young buck. He's not an experienced NBA veteran. He's got the least amount of NBA experience in that starting unit. So let's see if he can beat us. After the first month of NBA basketball, the league will be on notice, and they will know Miles Turner is capable of beating another team, that he is single-handedly capable of putting up 30-16 as often as you give him the looks and the shot opportunities. He's got size, again, he's got length, he's got touch, and he has stars around him that you're going to try to stop before him.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. Mm-hmm. So that's just how I see them.
I was going to say that if you weren't the supporting cast. Moving right along, because there's a ton of games that just definitely caught my eye. This one caught my eye in a negative facet, and I started the show out talking just about him. I'm not. I can't even say them or whatever. But I feel bad. The Brow, aka Anthony Davis, goes off for 50-16, 5 assists, 7 steals at the fourth. My goodness, my goodness, and they lost. And this is what sucks about putting up stats like this, because this was something that I was always taught, especially when I was young. My father would tell me, if you lose them stats, don't mean a damn thing. They don't mean a damn thing. But looking at the night that this guy put up, it's like, I don't understand how I could, you know, negate what he's trying to go out there and do. And this is the home opener for the Pelicans. They lose to a Nuggets team, which a lot of us, including myself, I'll speak on behalf of myself, were down on. I don't really know what Nuggets team we're going to see. But they came out on the road and won this, or took this game by 5 up against this Pelicans team. But I cannot overlook what Anthony Davis did in this game. He did it all except hit the 3 ball consistently. accept that. He did everything else for his team out the gate. Only four players have ever scored 50 points at the beginning of the season in game one. It's Michael Jordan twice, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, and now Anthony Davis. Your thoughts on this matchup up against the Nuggets, though, Royce?
Well, look, this is what I have to say about what happened with Anthony Davis. 41 minutes out of 48 played by Anthony Davis. 34 shots from the field, 17 from the free throw line. So you're talking about this guy had more points than minutes played. He took about, what's that, a total of 51 shots. When you add his goal attempts and his free throw attempts, finished with 50 points. And here's a guy that we consider to be injury prone. He had 16 rebounds. So he's down there banging. He secured 16 rebounds. We're not talking about the physical contact that he took and the rebounds he did not secure. Where was the help? Why is it that Tim Frazier is the second leading field goal attempts man with only 10? Why does AD have 34 field goal attempts in any game? I said all that to say there's a reason why I'm going to bring up a name from our glorious past. There's a reason why Chandler Knight would say Alvin Gentry wasn't a good coach. You can't beat a team with one guy taking 34 shots. No one else can get off. There's 10 from Tim Frazier, who's supposed to be your point guard, your setup man. So he had 15, 11, and 5. After that, the next highest is 8 field goal attempts from Etwan Moore and Buddy Hill. Neither one of those guys could get going. Etwan was 3 of 8. Buddy was 2 of 8. Lance Stephenson was 4 of 7. Solomon Hill was 1 of 7. Then you got guys that's 2 of 5, 2 of 6, 0 for 2, 1 for 3, 1 for 7. That's called no rhythm. The only man who getting fed, the only man who eating tonight is Anthony Davis. That's by coaching design, period. That's how I see that game. That's by coaching design. Because maybe as the head coach, you figure AD's the best player I got. As long as I make AD look good, it don't matter how bad I look. It doesn't matter that I can't really coach the whole team. I can't get everybody off, but I'm getting AD off because that's the name you know. That's bad basketball, man. And they deserve to take a L as a team if that's your best plan as a head coach. If that's your game plan, you got a lot of L's coming. And Anthony Davis, the crazy thing about it, he is one of those players in the league that's capable of putting up video game numbers so long as he's healthy. So long as Anthony Davis is healthy, can you imagine if Anthony Davis averaged 34 field goal attempts every night? Every night? Can you imagine if he averaged that? They would never win, but he would put up Wilt Chamberlain-esque type numbers. 50 points, 16 to 20 rebounds, handful of assists, some steals, some blocks, and 41 minutes. But the reality is we already know he can't handle that type of workload. His body's not built for it. So they got to change some things in New Orleans when it comes to AD. It's just one game. I wouldn't write off the rest of those guys on that team. I think those players as a whole are better than that. And it's just a matter of time before I think Alvin Gentry gets the message from everybody else, including his superstar player, Anthony Davis, when he comes into the office and says, Coach, we got to get everybody else involved, period. Because that's how they lost to the Nuggets. Multiple guys were involved, multiple guys on that team. More guys on that team were in double figures. Easy win, no brainer.
Do you think that, you know, this type of effort or style of play that Gentry is enforcing, or not to say he's enforcing it, but rather letting this happen with Anthony could end up watching him burn out or watch his injury-prone history come back and bite him?
Absolutely. I mean, look, at that at 41 minutes per game and 34 field goal attempts, Anthony Davis won't make 30 games that way, let alone 50 games. This is a guy who right now I think has a career average of somewhere between 63 and 66 games played per season. So we're talking about a young talent who's only 23 years old and he's yet to play 70 NBA games in a single season, Thomas. That's still 12 off from 82. What's the interest? Is this a move by a head coach that says, I'm trying to keep my job by feeding the fans and the media and the fantasy players, you know, big-time stat production by one guy, Anthony Davis, and maybe he gets to hang around? Or is he going to try to earn his keep his job by getting wins and getting his team into the playoffs? Because you can't keep hiding behind team injuries. You can't keep hiding behind players who are not there. You got to figure out how to win with what you have. At some point, you got to figure out how to get wins with what you have. They have some guys on the roster right now who are currently healthy, and they were available last night, but they were not getting shots. They were not a part of the game plan to produce points and put numbers on the board. They were there, give Anthony the ball, and stand around. That's what it looked like last night. Give Anthony the ball and watch him work.
Okay, I'll get away from that one because that's more or less a one-sided conversation. Well, not to say one-sided conversation, but one-sided ordeal to speak on how Anthony Davis just came out of the gate. Especially he had one of those games last year where I think it was like 59-23. Got like video game numbers for real. But another team that we spoke on, who I'll speak on my own behalf, I thought would be one of the more interesting teams out of the gate, being the Minnesota Timberwolves, fall short up against this Memphis Grizzlies team. Now, granted, I didn't know what type of Grizzly team we would see. I definitely had the Timberwolves pegged to try and get this game out of the gate, not taking anything away from the players that they do have, but this is a game that they must have to start to turn things around. I don't know where we look. Do we look upon the roster or Thibodeau working with young pieces right now? Your thoughts with the Grizzlies winning a close one by four?
Oh, the answer is no veteran presence. That's the difference. This game was pretty much a close game all night long, but when it got down to it being winning time in the last 3 minutes of the game, Thomas, it was all about Michael Conley, Mark Gasol, Zach Randolph. The core of what was once the grit and grind that is now trying to transform to a team that kind of like runs a little bit more, is picking up the pace, getting up and down. Hey, that's good early on. But when it comes to, you know, closing the game out against a young team of thoroughbreds like the Minnesota Timberwolves, they dumped it to the veterans who knew how to play and been in situations like this many times before and have come out with W's. And that's what happened. It was experience versus youth and inexperience. So, in my opinion, Thibodeau needs a trade. He's needed a trade all summer long. He needed a veteran. He was looking for a youthful veteran. We heard the rumors. He wanted to do a deal with Chicago and obtain the services of Jimmy Butler, a guy who was able to probably help them last night closed that game out. It's not how many vets that you have, but do you have a vet or two who is capable and still able to close out a game? For example, last year, obviously, they had Kevin Garnett on the team, no longer with the Timberwolves, but KG, too old, too many miles, not able to get out on the floor with that team and close opponents out to get the win. So that's the difference. So teams have work to do. They have to figure that out still as a young team. If they're not going to trade for a veteran who can help them with that, then it is what it is. They may still fall short multiple times this season. But this was a good first game. And we're going to see Minnesota and Memphis probably play, I think, like another 2 to 3 times probably before December, man. Like, they're going to get their season series over and out the way fairly quickly here.
I know I may frustrate people around Sports City and you know, people that are listening, things of that nature. Ricky Rubio is not the starter. They can start the rookie right now. Start Chris Dunn right now and get over it. Let Rubio be the spark off the bench or something. Rubio, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I cannot continue to watch this happen with you in over 30 minutes of play. This is their point guard. Like, come on. Come on. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Dunn came in there and did just as much work, did more work in less time. Did more work in less time. Enough is enough. Let him do his thing. Or hell, Tyus Jones, come on. I could care less how flashy you want him to look. The attention is to win games. That's my situation. I want to see games get won. I've heard it year after year. They're high on Rubio. I had a lot of people coming to me, oh, Rubio's hitting the shot now because he had a game winner against the Thunder. He had a big couple of threes up against the Lakers last year. Stop. Enough is enough. Okay. I'm getting away from that because it's starting to get personal. For me, Rubio, I'm not impressed. I'm just telling you, I'm not impressed. And you've been here for quite some time. The next matchup I do want to get into is the Hornets up against the Bucks. The Bucks losing one at home by 11 points. Interesting run by the Hornets, and they get Kid Gilchrist back to put up a double-double night. Hopefully he can stay away from the injury bug with 23 points, 14 rebounds. Giannis Antetokounmpo had a 31-9 rebound and 5 assist night as well for the Bucks in a losing manner. Your thoughts on this game and both sides of the ball, Hornets and Bucks?
Well, look, it's always good to see Michael Kidd-Gilchrist back and on the court. Hope that young man can stay healthy because while I don't always like watching him play, I'm talking about like the way his game looks, I can appreciate watching how he's playing. I know how he made it to the NBA, how he's staying in the NBA. When he is on the court, he gives it his all. He gives it his all. He plays hard. He plays with heart. He's a competitor, and he holds his own against a majority of the starting small forwards around the league. So, you know, kudos to him. Big opening night, 23-14. We mentioned that. Marvin Williams picking up where he left off last season. He had a career year last year. He had a strong double-double, 13-10. The surprise performer of the night for me in Charlotte, Thomas, was Roy Hibbert, 15-9, 3 assists and 5 blocks. I saw him dunk a couple things back down off that rebound. So, look, I think he's the wild card for that team. If they could get the type of Roy Hibbert that was here in Indiana when he was playing his best basketball, you're talking about a team in Charlotte that has a chance of going back to the playoffs. On the flip side, in Milwaukee, this team I think is going to continue to struggle and stumble out of the gates because of the absence of Chris Middleton. He is a very important piece. Give them what they were looking for in terms of the perimeter shooting. He's the most reliable, most consistent shooter, you know, from deep range. They traded for Tony Snell. Thought he would be ready on opening night, dealing with an ankle sprain, but he wasn't ready. So he was not available, and they just looked out of sorts. They really just looked out of sorts, and Charlotte kind of like jumped on them. And those 31 points that Giannis had, that's what you call manipulating the stat sheet, because probably 10 to 12 of those points were really meaningless. You know, the game was long over, and it was just about getting numbers at that point. So it was good for fantasy owners. But in terms of the context of the game and really competing for the win or the loss, the game was over. They were taking the L, and Giannis was just, you know, on the court.
If they stay healthy, is this the core that can help Kemba? Now, let's just say that there'd be a threat in the Eastern Conference. I don't even want to start talking April. I don't want to do that. But this is a threat in the Eastern Conference. Is this if they all stay healthy, are they a threat in the Eastern Conference?
Well, if you mean by threat, you know, like a threat to the crown of the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James, no.
No.
Are they a playoff seed team? Absolutely. Yeah, they can continue to they can sign up and say, hey, we were here. We had a seat at the table last season for the playoffs, and we're going to RSVP for 2016-2017 campaign as well. Yes. Yes, very much so. They have the talent. They have a system that they're comfortable with. Most of the pieces are returning pieces. You have a guy like Roy Hibbert. He's not going to be asked to do a lot every night, but what he will be asked to do, Roy is actually truthfully capable of doing it. So it's the extras, it's the things that I think we want or expect out of him sometime that he doesn't deliver is the issue as fans on the outside looking in. But defending, protecting the painted area, he's very capable of doing that. And so long as everybody else can bring, you know, good health and point production to the table, you know, this could be a pretty – they could be a 6 seed. They could be a 6 seed. I don't see them really being higher than that, but they're not like a just-getting-in team if they're healthy and playing good basketball. And Kemba is taking another step building on that career year he had last season. This is a 6 seed team, provided everyone is healthy.
Okay, I want to go back out to the Western Conference. I really want to call them their real name, but I'm going to do the other name. The Kentucky Kings went on the road up against the Phoenix Suns in an impressive facet, winning by 19 in Phoenix up against the Suns. Now, one, there are issues for me that loom for this Phoenix Suns team. I think this is more or less everything is going to rest on the shoulders of Booker. Booker had an off night shooting the three ball, but everybody else must step up for this Phoenix Suns team. However, the Kings did this in numbers. Like, they got it across the board. DeMarcus led the team. Rudy actually had a hand in this game as well. You also had Barnes that actually was effective as well. Temple, LSU product, definitely came in the game and gave these guys a lift. Your thoughts on the Kings actually winning a game up against the Suns, who have to put this together as soon as possible before this Western Conference starts to run away from it?
Well, a couple of bottom feeders right now, you know, based off of last season's team records. And I'll start with Phoenix. They didn't look comfortable. And they being Eric Bledsoe and Devin Booker and Brandon Knight. Those guys didn't look comfortable. So, right now, I'm a little concerned, even though, again, I know it's only one game, but I'm concerned about the chemistry in the backcourt. It's only one basketball, and we're not talking about superstar names, but we're talking about three guys who have been – they play with the ball in their hands. They're at their best when the ball is in their hands. And right now, I'm a little concerned that that may be an issue at some point for the Phoenix Suns, and they may have to do a trade sooner than later, possibly with both Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight. Because I think if they really want to build around Devin Booker in that backcourt, if he's the guy they really want to feature to be the face of the franchise in the backcourt, then you really eventually have to move on from Bledsoe and Knight and bring in a guy who currently, you know, at this point in his career would be willing to say, all right, I'm here to support what Devin does and I'll play a role. Okay. It's not about me becoming a brand name of my own, which look, that's what was happening with Eric Bledsoe. He got from behind the shadow of Chris Paul in Los Angeles. He was pursued by the Suns. They brought him in. They said they wanted him to be the face of the franchise. And I know that was them still having Goran Dragic. Like, Phoenix history is to tell a guy, we want you to be the face of the franchise. We want you to be our guy. And then they bring in another guy that they told the exact same thing to, and he plays the exact same position. Somebody in Phoenix loves to tell lies. That's how I see it. can we get some truth? Let's get some truth. Let's stop lying. Let's stop telling guys who play the exact same position, who are about the same height, and have, you know, similar skill sets. You know, let's just be honest, man. Let's be real and figure out how to construct a team that can win and not self-destruct and take itself out of contending. But I still stay on record, you know, and I want to stand by what I said in the preview. If this team can figure it out, I think they have some young talent in their front court and some guys that will play like they don't know that they're not supposed to be here right now performing at a high level because they are rookies. But given the opportunity and the minutes, and they're there in Phoenix for Marquese Chris, Dragan Bender, and Devin Booker, those guys, and Tyler Ulis even, those guys I think are going to have a lot of say-so about what the end result is in Phoenix this season. Now, the Sacramento Kings, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins has been on record. He only has one focus, one goal, obviously, that's getting that team into the playoffs. But, again, I'm going to say what I said during their preview. DeMarcus Cousins' goal should be to have it on repeat, requesting a trade. Every interview, he should end it with, trade me. He should end every interview with, trade me. He should begin every interview with, trade me. In the middle of every interview, trade me. You understand? Like, that's the theme. DeMarcus Cousins should try to get out of Sacramento if he wants to make the playoffs. That team, as currently constructed, is not going to the playoffs. Period. They're not catching lightning in a bottle. They're not getting hot, running off 12 to 15 games in a row and becoming, you know, a story in the Western Conference. It's not going to happen. DeMarcus Cousins, somebody, you know, that's listening right now, do me a favor, if you would. At Boogie Cousins, at the Sacramento Kings, at Dave Yorger, in social media, and just type trade me in all caps.
This boy is bad, man. He's bad. Okay, two more games before we get up out of here because we are running low on time. One team that Royce definitely stressed in the kitchen was watch out for what the Houston Rockets were going to be up to in this upcoming season. And, of course, I dig what my brother says, and, of course, I'm still a Harden fan, even though I'm still bitter about him leaving OKC as well. They fall short, and definitely, like I said at the top of the show, video game numbers, 34-17 in a losing effort in his backyard because he's an L.A. product. He's from out there. But they lose to a young Los Angeles Lakers team post Kobe Bryant. With Kobe, with his shoes in the rafters, number in the rafters, the five rings, I mean, we could talk about this for hours. But the Lakers get it done up against this Houston Rockets team. Royce, your thoughts on this game, which had a very high intensity and interest in this game.
Well, I was excited about this game. And as you alluded to during the preview, I was actually excited about both teams and respectively where they both are. They're at different ends of the spectrum. In terms of one team right now is trying to really compete for a playoff position and contend in the West. And then the other team obviously is in a rebuild mode after losing a Hall of Famer in Kobe Bryant. And it's all about the development of the young guns. And I stressed how important it was. Give those young guys the minutes. Give them close to 30 minutes. Clarkson played 25, Ingram 24, Russell 29, Julius Randle 29, and Larry Nance Jr. 23 minutes. They got help from their veteran presence, Nick Young. Not a lot of help. You know, he made a couple boneheaded mistakes, but he still played 27 minutes. Luol Deng played 28, Mozgov 22. Listen, there was even a Meta World Peace sighting because there was a time during that game, there was a stretch where Walton was like, I got to send a message to my guys. We have to defend. Because they gave up, like, I think 70 points in the first half. It was crazy. It was like 70 to 60-something at halftime. The Lakers responded. These young guys responded. It was a very entertaining game and something good to see. And I'm going to say it again, and this is going to help serve notice to the rest of the league. Go out to L.A. and think you got an easy win. Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell will tell you otherwise. Now, whether or not they could get that win, and they were able to back it up last night and get the W, but if you could read their list, and since we are a podcast online and we're not regulated by FCC, I'm going to tell you what D'Angelo Russell said. He said, this my shit. Like, this my house. It doesn't matter if that's James Harden over there and he's cooking and he's sitting on a double-double basically in one quarter of play and points and assists. So what? Game not over. And this our house. And they backed it up, man. It was a great game for the young guys. And that's with the rookie, Brandon Ingram, only contributing 9 points. It was an efficient 9, though. He was 4-6 from the field and 1-2 from three-point range with 3 rebounds. They gave him some time, Thomas. I like to see they gave him some time at the point, if you will, running the offense, trying to get other people off. So that's going to be interesting to watch develop. But at the same time, it's one game. It's one game. So it didn't move the needle in terms of how I feel about the Houston Rockets as a whole, as a team. Where was Trevor Ariza last night? Mr. 2 of 8. In 33 minutes. Where was Trevor Ariza? Brian Anderson, he showed up. Clint Capella showed up. Eric Gordon showed up. James Harden, as you mentioned, this guy probably could have easily did 30 and 20 in terms of points and assists. He finished with 17 assists. That's just ridiculous, all right? That's ridiculous. I'm not mad at that. Got a little bit of bench help, but it only came from one person, and that was KJ McDaniels. I really expected more opening night out of Nene. He had, in my opinion, an outstanding preseason for a guy his age, dealt with injuries every season, where he was kind of like putting up roughly like 10-5, almost 14-5 some nights. I actually thought that on opening night against the Lakers, him being a veteran would give him an edge against a young guy like Julius Randle. Wasn't the case. It actually gave Nene problems, and he struggled. He only got 5 shots, and he was 7-3 as opposed to 10-5. So I thought that was a difference maker, and where the hell was Corey Brewer with only 4 points? I'm not surprised by, you know, what I saw from Sam Decker or Tyler Ennis. It's going to take time, but as a whole, you know, this game is really about the Lakers, a young guy stepping up and protecting home court. And that's what you got to do in the NBA. You get 41 at home, 41 on the road. Bottom line is when they come into your house, you know all the sweet spots. You know where the dead wood is. You got to figure out how to eke out a win against as many visiting opponents as possible. And, you know, like I said, good thing for the young boys. I was excited to see that.
Okay, we are running down on time, so I'm going to just talk about the other scores quickly and then get us out of the kitchen. We have like a little bit over 5 minutes left. The Heat took care of business up against the Magic, 108-96. Whiteside with a huge game, 18-14. Without Wade around, they still got this win. Looking like the team to beat in Florida, at least. At least the team to beat in Florida. You also have the Celtics edging the Nets, 122-117. A blowout in Toronto where DeMar DeRozan, and I hate to small talk this one, DeMar going off for 40. I really feel like it wasn't a fair fight with no backcourt presence for the Pistons. I feel like I'm small changing this one, but that was a definite good answer by DeMar DeRozan. in Toronto. Other than that, man, I feel like our hands are all clean. I definitely, man, y'all must be crazy if you think I'm done right now. But I did get the rest of those scores out of the way. I'm with my big brother here, and this dude had me sweating, and he didn't even call me or speak to me or text me or nothing. But that's how we keep it. I respect him for that. Oklahoma City went into Philadelphia and had a hell of a nail biter. I really was like this all game. We're going to mess around and lose to Philly. First game out of
yes,
the
game. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I was
saying. Joel Embiid gave us everything we could freaking handle. And they tried to keep him on a minute limit. And he ended up closing out the game. And the Thunder were able to get away with this game, winning by six up against the Sixers. Funny that I say it like that. 103-97. Joel Embiid, I am impressed. And, I mean, I only seen a little bit of you in college when you played at Kansas. But he was hitting threes consistently. He was going in the paint. He really was working that dream shake. He had it all. He even blocked Russ at the rim, even though Russ left it up there for him to go get it. But still, yet he made the play happen. I'm impressed with this Philadelphia 76ers team, and they're not fully healthy. That is the crazy part about this Sixers team. This is a team that they need to watch out for in the Eastern Conference. Royce, your thoughts on your Sixers and the game all together?
Well, as far as the game as a whole, I was hoping that we were going to be able to steal one, but I'm a realist, and I understood that the veteran presence advantage favored your Thunder. So, you know, that being the case, I knew as much as Philadelphia being on national television for the first time in a long time, MB being on a minute restriction, play like roughly, you know, 20 minutes. I think they wanted Jahlil Okafor somewhere around, you know, 12 to 16 that he played. It's like, how do you pull this game out? How do you manage your substitutions, you know, throughout the game? To give yourself your best chance of closing it out, because it was proven last night that the best weapon the Philadelphia 76ers had to throw at the Oklahoma City Thunder was Joel Embiid. They worked it out. You know, he played 2 minutes over his allotment of 20 for the game. He finished with 20 points and 7 rebounds, a couple of blocks. He had a chase down block, but, man, I'm telling you, the rest of the team did not run with him. And no one was boxing out Enes Kanter, who continued to feast off of the offensive glass and just kept breaking our back in crucial moments by getting offensive putback rebounds. But Embiid hustled from underneath Philadelphia's basket on the offensive end, and he had a face down block of a layup late in the game. And that was just, again, it was impressive to see a guy who's right around like 7'2", I think they're saying he is 270, 275 or something like that. I mean, look, it doesn't look the same. He didn't look like LeBron James, okay? But he was moving, Timeless, and he got that block. And that was an impressive moment. That impressed me more than anything he did offensively. That showed and demonstrated to his teammates and to the fans of Philadelphia, Joel Embiid is going to do everything he possibly can on the basketball court to help this team get wins. So the future is bright. It's one game. Unfortunately, it was an L, but everybody's feeling a little different about this loss. It's not that same losing feeling that it has been for, you know, I don't even want to count the years, but you know what I'm saying. This loss, you know, is a loss that's still filled with optimism and with hope. And, you know, if we had a couple of veterans that were capable in terms of giving us the consistent knockdown perimeter shot, somebody who could spell Joel Embiid in terms of, you know, you could give him the ball and he'd go get you a bucket or two while Joel is resting. You know, there's going to be a difference, you know, down the road as we go further into this season. But on the Oklahoma City side, something else that we saw was the Thunder's commitment to the offensive game of Steven Adams, you know, 16 field goal attempts right there with Oladipo at 16. Russell Westbrook, you know, his normal career average right now about 20, 21 field goal attempts. Enes Kanter being, you know, the sixth man candidate of the year that he is, delivered with 17 and 12. It was a good game. It was a good matchup between a couple of teams that are essentially rebuilding. How they're rebuilding obviously is different, but anytime you take away a major piece like Kevin Durant and then you bring in a rookie in Domantas Sabonis who is starting, I told everybody in fantasy that he was going to start, but if you – and I ain't throwing shade, but I like to call him out, and they know that. Proto World, man, this – anyway, whatever.
Leave that alone. Don't even need to say that.
I told you he was gonna start, and Cantor was gonna come off the bench because that's just the way the team is constructed. Oladipo, Adams, you know, these guys are growing and they're finding their niche as well. Ilyasova had a decent showing. I'm leery of him. I tell anybody who the fan of the team that he currently plays for, don't get your hopes up because he's a hot cold guy. He's very Jekyll and Hyde, if you will. So when he's producing, enjoy it. When he's not, hey, grab you something cold to drink and just deal with it. But yeah, that was the game of the night. And yeah, timeless. I didn't want to hit you up because I wanted us to get the win. If we had got the win, I might have been petty and gave you a little text or a shout out, but we took that L, so I just saved until we came into the cafe.
He already know, man, because I was at the edge of my seat, like, I got to go on air with him tomorrow. We going to mess around and lose. But like I said at the top of the topic, all of my credit goes to MB. Sergio Rodriguez, I know you played on the Spanish team. Monster, like out of nowhere, was hitting shots from deep too. Like, but they need a strong shooting guard. Like somebody needs, and you know they had Covington and you know guys coming up there and making plays and hitting threes, but there wasn't no consistent guy out there knocking down shots. Just like Roy said, if they had somebody out there that could stretch the floor and let these guys operate down there, I think the Thunder would have been in trouble last night, that's for sure. And that win last night, even in winning by six, I still think that there's cause for concern. The one thing that really has my heart, like wrapped, like I got, it's like a grip. Victor Oladipo, you have to get comfortable. I don't know why you're tense. You've already had a 34-point showing in the preseason with these guys. You know the offense. Just go out there and play ball. Just play. I know that this may be a struggle to get out there. That block that Royce was talking about, it was on Victor Oladipo. He tried to lay the ball up. This guy's a dunk, you know, dunk contest type of guy. Dunk the ball. You tried to lay the ball up on a break? Don't give the rim havoc. You play with Russ. Don't. You lucky that ball landed in Cantor's hands, and Cantor was able to finish the way that he needed to. Just like Royce said, Steven Adams, hell of a game. I didn't think that he would end up being a scorer like this, but he had a hell of a first half coming out the gate, and I don't know whether the situation that we look at it, that they don't have a lot of big men to throw bodies at Steven Adams because they had Embiid off the floor. Noel wasn't there as much as possible either, so that could have been a situation that kind of helped Steven Adams get off, but Steven Adams definitely impressed me with a couple more offensive moves and shots at the rim, and definitely Russ setting a hell of a table up for him to score, whether he was giving him the ball at the dotted line and letting him finish with a skyhook or letting him take off from the dotted line. Steven Adams is taking off from the dotted, catching dunks. So, Steven, I got to try and figure out a nickname. I mean, they love to call you Big Kiwi because you're from New Zealand. I got to think of a nickname because I already got my boy with a nickname. I got to get you one. Yeah, but the rest of the pieces for the Thunder, I think they definitely are in, you know, construction right now, like Roy said. Sabonis stepping outside, being a big that can shoot the three ball and definitely has an extreme post presence to be a youngster. I think it was tough because the paint was so crowded that he couldn't really get his shots off like he wanted to in the paint, but I feel like there's a lot, front court and the back court. It just Oladipo has to be comfortable. The one thing I'm still shaking my head at, Andre Roberson, what do you work on in the summertime? what do you work on? Your free throws are still questionable. He's still shooting 50-something percent at the free throw line. He's still scared to shoot jump shots. He only wants to get the alley-oops at the rim. Andre, what are you working on? They're giving you millions of dollars to be a shooting guard. Hell, I know I'm not an NBA player, but if I got the trigger or green light to shoot, I'm shooting. He's scared to shoot. He's just for defensive purposes. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. That is going to be a struggle point for the Thunder, but we will see as things go down the road. And, oh, yes, y'all know me. I got two words for the rest of y'all. Meep. Meep. That's it. That's it. Oh, my goodness. One more assist, and you would have had the trip for real. And that one trip was that dunk that Oladipo should have had at the damn rim because Russ gave him the pass. He tried to lay it up, and Embiid punched that. He punched it, and that could have been the triple-double. And once that happened, the game was over. No more, you know, plays that Russ had to try and force. But Russ, I don't care who was guarding you. They tried everything from Henderson to McConnell to Rodriguez, none of them. There was one move that he put on Gerald Henderson. I'm going to talk about this and get out of this kitchen. Russ had him on the block, took a step back, dribbled, and then once he stopped the dribble, he started rocker stepping him and just pulled up and hit the jumper. No glass. He just hit it. And it really looked like it was designed for Russ to hit that shot. If Russ has that in the bag, it's going to be tough for a lot of guards to deal with him. I thought that these teams, it's just one game. I still think that this is going to happen. A lot of teams are going to load up on Russ and force Russ to pass the ball. So this is going to be tough for Russ as time goes on. But that was, this is what they got to slow people down. Oladipo has to get confident. Andre Roberson, I don't know what they need to do with you. I don't know. I don't want to start, blaring trade because you are an interesting piece for the Thunder. Your defensive prowess on certain situations. But these guards are losing you, man. I mean, even Rodriguez pulled up for three on a dribble of stop and pop, and he wasn't even ready for him. He wasn't even ready for him. So I don't know. I don't know. I want to put too much on Dre. Dre, I love you because you're part of the organization, but I'm wondering what you're working on in the offseason. It just bothers me. Okay, Royce, you already know what to do. We are at the tail end of the show. Plug, close out, promo, anything that you like to shout out to the people as we shut the doors here at the cafe.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for always, keeping the light on inside Sports City, man, and making guys like myself feel welcome, giving opportunity, giving us a platform. So I think that's probably, my plug, my close, tonight is to say to anybody that's listening, look, somewhere out there you're doing something and you have a platform, and what you're doing with it, it should matter to you. It should be important. You should understand and be aware of the fact that someone is not only listening, but watching, and they're learning and they're reinforcing something, whether it be positive or negative. So it's not about us being perfect. It's about us being perfectly imperfect and comfortable being ourselves. That's how I see it. So I just kind of want to, go off the air tonight myself in terms of being able to encourage whoever's listening, utilize your platform in the lives of others. We're all connected to someone else, and we have a position of influence. So use that to be constructive when it comes to building one another as we go through this thing called life, and, reach your goals, be happy, continuing that pursuit, and utilize all your talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. And, man, you can live the life that you've been dreaming about.
That boy is preaching. My brother is preaching, man. I don't even know how to follow too much of that, man. I mean, he already knows, man, I do this for us, man. And it's good banter when me and him go back and forth. And here I go being Gary Payton giving Sean Kemp the dunk, man. Just alley-ooping, but that's how we do, man. We love to feed y'all, and thank you for everybody that continues to support us. We're going to continue to do what we do. Check us out on either Twitter or the Facebook pages to stay in tune with what we got. We do have to change the date. I think it may be on Saturday. Stay tuned to what we got going, but the cafe is not going anywhere. The date may be changed immediately. We have to figure out how to get this done. with Sports City. We are still continuing to do this. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be back here Saturday morning with the College Campus Tailgate Show. A lot of interesting feedback with that on the college football games going down. Tommy is taking the league by storm right now. Interesting enough, I'm in his rear view. And, oh, yes, we probably will be hearing a frustrated Doc Russell because Doc has been talking mega junk. And, boy, did those Buckeyes go down. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Survival of the most fit for real niggas, no doubt. Get what's yours from out this fucker for your time run out.